this guy walks as close to the life of the Son of God as anybody that I've seen so far. And it makes me hungrier, and it drives me on, and makes me want to go for more. And so I don't know how you could even put a price on that or describe that. So I know y'all are in the same place. So let's just, man, thank you. Dan Moeller.
I think y'all are determined to make me cry every time I come up here. Your sister come over and share me a testimony, I just burst out in tears, didn't I? I said, now you're messing me up. Stop. I preached him. Wow. Now, when he's talking like that, it's very humbling, because what he's saying is every one of our privilege. Every one of us can walk in and live in heaven. Please don't let life deceive you. Please don't let life speak louder than truth. I promise you, one day we're all going to stand before Him.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that in a judgment way, in a fear way. It's a faith way. You've got to believe that every day is a day closer to that day you stand before Him. Life is a wisp and a vapor, man. Things are flying. Guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. You don't let things get in your heart that don't produce life. You don't harbor things. You don't hold on to things. You don't let sorrow overtake you, anger overtake you, frustration overtake you. Why? Because life never ends in Him. Come on, it's time to believe.
Yes.
If you're living for this moment will decide your next moment.
Yes.
But if you're living for His glory and His great name, you are set. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Come on, so many of us, even Christians, I mean good Christians that love the Lord and believe He died on the cross and forgave them of their sin, they get trapped living for the moment. They put all their emphasis on now. Look, if now doesn't work out like you were hoping, He hasn't changed. The truth about your life hasn't changed. You have the same impact, same influence, same access to grace, and can still live by the Spirit.
Yes.
So if you let today's happening decide you today, you're going to miss what you're here for. And time's going to skate by, and you're going to stand before Him and go, oops. Don't do that. You don't know oops. You want to be ready to stand before Him. I spoke it, I think, Friday night. It's 1 John 4:17. Love is perfected in this. Because we have boldness in that day. Guys, we can have boldness in that day. Why? Because we guarded our heart. We stewarded our hearts. We didn't draw back. We didn't grow weary in doing good. We didn't let what people did and said decide who we are and how we are. We didn't get caught up in life. We got caught up with the giver of it. And we lived for His great name. We lived for His glory. And we wanted our lives to reveal Him. Come on, everybody in this room can live by that faith. And either you pursue that or you don't, time will tell. Come on, we're not trying to make it. We already have. I'm just so flipped out by the gospel. I'm trying to stay calm for you. This is my best. This is my best calm. And I'm 10 times more revved on the inside than you're seeing. This is my best calm. This is the best I'm going to do for you, because I'm really on thin ice right now. Because I believe what I'm telling you. Come on, I've had plenty of opportunity to have my heart hurt and be angry and frustrated and overwhelmed. But I don't even know that stuff anymore. You can't do me wrong enough to get me to turn out wrong. I'm going to overcome that thing with good. I'm going to tone it down with kindness. I'm going to walk in love.
Yeah.
I am, because He modeled that for me. And nobody did Him right. Even His own men betrayed Him, said they'd die, and they still ran because they were overwhelmed by self and death. And they didn't understand, and we'd have done the same thing. But He didn't change. He's my hero. He's my role model. He's not just my suffering Savior. He's my model for life. He showed me the way. Now I'm going to do a little more than sing to Him and pray to Him when things are tight.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to give my life to Him so His life can be mine and I can express it. So when Jason says what he says, that makes you want to cry because you're humbled that He wants to live in you.
and that there's change for every person. I do not have to be an angry man. I do not have to be self-centered. I do not have to be proud. I do not have to be judgmental. I choose to be those things because I believe they're normal, but I don't believe they're normal anymore. I believe they're deception because they never produce life. They never bring glory to His name. They just add to self. And it's a good way to self-destruct. And my man, before I knew Jesus, it was so easy to be pumped up in my own pride, my own opinions, my own arrogance, my own self-righteous life. And it was a lonely world, and you really didn't matter unless you benefited me. You mattered for that season. My I love you was never I love you. It was do you love me? What do you give me back? It was always I need you. That's why there's so much pain in relationships. Because rarely is it two people coming together out of the fullness and strength and fulfillment of their life. They're always looking for something, whether they know it or not. They're always needing something from somebody. And then they put all their chips on that person, and that person lets them down, fails them, and breaks their heart. You cannot break my heart. Impossible. I promise you, I'm barely hanging on right now. See, because it's so real to me. You can't break my heart. My own life can't break my heart. I didn't wake up for her to love me today. I woke up to be like Him. And that changes everything.
Yes.
I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. A Christ-like one. That's what Christian means. It doesn't mean you go to a church. It means you're pursuing to be like Him. I'm a Christian. Man, I'm having trouble this morning. Did you? I'm barely holding on. I'm sorry, but I'm a Christian.
Come on.
See his sweatshirt? I love it. Look, that's my problem right there. He is wearing my problem. I'm not my own.
Come on.
I didn't wake up for you to live for me. I didn't wake up for you to do me right. That means you can't break my heart. You can't do me wrong. I woke up to be like Him. I'm not my own. I realized a long time ago my biggest problem was that I was living for me. Everything was about me. My I love you was all about me. Everything I did was about me. Even when I did good, I just enjoyed the accolade, the appreciation, the thank you. Because if people didn't thank me, I was chicken. They didn't appreciate me. And I ain't going out of my way for you if you don't appreciate what I did. Come on. Who's ever talked like that, lived like that, felt like that, thought like that? Happens in the church. You serve in a ministry to get appreciated. Don't get appreciated, so you leave the church. Well, your motive was wrong in the first place. You weren't doing it for the Lord. You were doing it for yourself.
Come on.
Why? Because you have need in your life because you're not fulfilled in Him.
Yes.
See, when you have need in your life, you're not fulfilled in Him. But I read it in my Bible, Ephesians 3, to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, not know, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's my problem. I'm not my own. And I'm filled with the fullness of God, whatever that means. It just means there's no lack, there's no empty rooms, there's no occupancy, there's no vacancy. I'm fulfilled. Woo! That word means a house with no empty rooms. It means a town with no empty houses.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a town. Woo-hoo! God has an amazing development. You know what else it means? It means a ship so full of cargo that you couldn't find room to place one more box. That's what the word fullness means. No empty rooms. No vacancy. Big old no vacancy flashing over your head. Ain't nothing but Him moving in and occupying because I'm fulfilled. Every room. It's filled. That's why my old wife doesn't owe me a thing. She can't break my heart. She can't change my mood. Oh, you don't realize how much your spouse is Lord over you sometimes. Deciding how you're doing and who you are and what you're doing. And then you get into that control manipulation game and you try to get each other to serve each other. Then we get reduced to psychology, 50-50, a lot of work. Give and take, you do for me, I do for you. None of that is the gospel, that's the earth. The gospel is I love you, and I've laid down my life to be one with you, and I will give of myself to bring out the best in who you are. That's the gospel. That's how he loves his church. That's how I'm going to love my woman. And she don't owe me a thing. You say, well, I don't believe that. I understand there's a lot of unbelief in the church. I'm really messing up this morning. Am I doing all right? Am I doing all right? I need a thumbs up, Jason. I feel like I'm messing up. It's your fault. I'm blaming it on somebody. Is that what Adam did? Did you hit that tree? What were you going to be? He couldn't take responsibility. Why? Because he became self-centered. Self-protecting, self-defending, self-justifying. Come on. Let's do more than just talk about him. Let's just do more than be sentimental and sing about him. Let's just do more than just now I lay me down and sleep and bless our food, Lord. Let's not just bow our head and pray when it's time to pray. Let's not just acknowledge him more when we're in trouble. And let's understand he's Lord and King of all, King and Lord of all. Let's give ourselves to him. I love you, Sharon. It's motivating me. And it's not be our own. Since you've been bought with a price, you're not your own. Ain't that something? That changes things if that's real. That changes my responses, my attitudes, my perspectives. Come on, if I'm not my own, then I can't just come up with my own feelings and say, well, I feel, well, they shouldn't. Well, I just need time to get over it. No, you need to get over you. Because you are giving yourself permission to be whatever that is.
Yeah.
But I know whatever that is isn't producing anything good. And all it's doing is giving you an excuse to not be like him. And now you're waiting to see. Because you were made from the beginning for his image.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you believe the Bible, if you're a Bible-believing person, the Bible says the only reason man is on the planet is to be found in God's image. So if you're not pursuing his image, you're not living for why you're here. And all of a sudden, you'll be found out that you're just pursuing your life. It never was your life. It was always his life in you. And two are one in him. That's why suicide is probably the biggest tragic express deception on the planet. Because people get tricked into taking something that's not even theirs. Well, it's my life. I'll do with it. It never was your life from the beginning. It was his life in you.
That's right. Yeah.
Suicide, biggest deception. People get tricked into taking what's not theirs. And then they stop purpose and destiny and legacy and glory to his name. And take into their own hands what's not theirs. What's my life? I'll live it the way I want. All this fuss over abortion. What's my body? I'll do with it. It's my decision. It just shows what the fall of man really is.
Yes.
It's self-centered delusion. Guys, it's the biggest problem on the planet. I'm not a politician, a philosopher. I don't have all these answers, but I know this. I know this is right. The problem on the earth is not politics. It's not racialism. It's not terrorism. The problem on the earth is that every day, people wake up every day and live for themselves when they're made for this image. And a bigger problem is people in the church.
Yeah.
Come on.
Incorporate him into their life instead of him becoming their life, and they wake up and live for what he can do for them instead of how he can make them more like him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're needs-driven instead of spirit-led. And we're living for the moment instead of that day. And now we're only as good as things are going instead of as good as he is. And when we sing and shout, Jeff is freaking out. Some of us are wondering why he's so excited, because if you lived my life, if you were in my shoes, if you had my trouble, if you knew what I've been through, And all of a sudden you reveal you're missing the whole point. You're making this thing all about you. And the whole time we're singing, it's all about it. Come on, I know I'm preaching really good right now. I can feel it. I'm just done selling cheap.
Yeah.
For 24 years in June, it'll be 24 years. I'm done selling cheap. I've been changed for a long time. Like, I didn't just get a hold of this. I've been living this. 24 years isn't no eternity, but it's long enough to know that you want to sing. I've been waking up this way for 20, almost 4 years. Just waking up in love with God and free from me. It's a great feeling. You say, well, you don't live by feelings. Well, we all have feelings. You just don't live by feelings. Feelings can be good when they're in God. It's a good feeling to wake up and be free from me. To not carry the care of me. Where do you think anxiety comes from? Where do you think fear comes from? Where do you think discouragement comes from? When you're thinking for you. You can't carry that weight. You were never created to live for you. It's a weight you cannot bear. When you're a Christian for you, and all your prayers are your circumstances, and the people that bother you, and the people you're worried about, and you're just driven all the time by life. And yet the giver of it is inside of you and wants to break out and shine.
Yes, come on.
In the face of it all.
Yes.
They didn't appreciate Jesus. They shouted him down. They were bickering in their minds. They were backbiting and backtalking all the time. Yeah. He heard their thoughts and still didn't change.
Amen.
We ought to be glad we don't hear people's thoughts. We might not be able to handle it.
Yeah.
Insecure. We just read a post and fall apart. I can't believe it. What do people think? Ah, my life is over. Ah. Sorry. I'm trying to simulate a 13-year-old that's having a fall. I'm not doing well. I need help. Get up and help me. Is she 13? Help me, girl. You know, another one, and the young people get criticized for this, but it's not just the young generation. I've learned it's everybody goes to work. You got to govern your heart and your mindset for that. But whatever. It's like demonic. Whatever. Yeah, you try to pull that in the throne room. Jenny, stand before me. Whatever. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. Go put all of heaven on hold with your whatever. It might have worked temporarily on the earth and controlled a few folks, but it ain't gonna fly in the air. See, we don't even realize this. God created man to love. And when man got separated from God, he got cut off from the source of love and became in need of love. Every one of us in this room was born into the need to be loved. And you're driven by that, whether you admit it or not. You need to be valued, appreciated, encouraged, supported. And we psychologically address it and try to do our best where everybody's concerned. And some people just don't have anything on that list going, and they crash and burn because they didn't have no support system. Well, what's the problem? The problem is that we were never created to be loved this way. We were created to love this way. And now it's all backwards. And now we're needs driven because we have no identity in ourselves. We only have identity in Him. Are you following me?
Yeah.
If God made man in His image and God is love, then He made man fulfilled in Him and made man to love. When man got called from love, he became in need of love, and we try to get that from each other, and it can only be restored through Him.
Yeah.
Now when I become a Christian, I didn't become a Christian to go to heaven and catch a blessing and make sure I have guaranteed provision. I became a Christian so life could come back into me and the tables could get turned, and instead of being needs driven, I'm fulfilled in Christ and I get restored back to love.
Amen. That's right.
Not needing it, being it.
Yes.
Now you just imagine in this room, if we all walk in scriptural love, taking no account of the wrong done to us, Why? Because it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about his great name. So you don't take account and a record of the wrong done against you as a person, an individual, because you seek me first the kingdom and you think for the kingdom, not yourself. And then no longer do you say, well, I can't believe they did that to me. Well, that just hurt. Well, I trusted them. I can't trust anymore. I don't want people. I'm just buying a pet. I'm just going to buy a dog. Because he'll never hurt me. I'm just going to love my little dog. Oh, it's happening all the time. And then your dog is your God. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a dog. These guys have a dog. I'm not talking about your dogs. They love their own dogs. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a dog. I'm saying your motive is what's wrong if that's your motive. If you're escaping the reality of pain in your life and dealing in truth, so you're just going to cop out and buy a little dog because he'll never hurt you and just look at you always with those puppy eyes. And he can do no wrong, but now you can't trust people and you got all kind of walls around your life and don't ever let nobody in because you're tired of being hurt. Well, maybe people aren't your problem. Maybe your vulnerability's the problem. Maybe you need to deal with why are you always hurt. Because you're thinking for you and you have expectations on people whether they're spoken or not. And you're always set up to be failed. Hello? And when that happens, you're rendered unproductive and there's no influence coming out of your life concerning the kingdom. So you can't possibly walk in the light as he walks in the light, but you can go to church. And you can serve in a ministry. And you can actually believe Jesus is Lord and died on the cross, but you're not letting who he is decide you.
That's good.
So you actually live in discouragement and disheartenment and in hiding when you're called to be an open book. Do you think Jesus had walls up? That is hilarious. Where did we get this idea? Probably hell. Probably hell. Did he just curse in church? No. I didn't. It's a real place, but more than a place, it's a mentality. And it's every man for himself, and it's self-seeking. Self-seeking is evil and wickedness is disastrous. Unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it's a lonely place. Self-seeking is. Do you know how easy it is in today's American church to always just listen to messages that benefit ourselves and we're Christians living in a self-seeking Christian world that really doesn't exist, we'll find out. Where all the messages are just beneficial. And just bless me and serve me. And the more we preach it, the more people come to God. But then you have all these questions and quandaries and discouragements. And if God's good, then why'd they die? And if God's good, why the accident? And where was God? Why did I lose my job? And where's his protection? And where's his... And all of a sudden, he's our genie in a bottle and he's not even our covenant father.
Come on.
And all of a sudden, he's the meter of my needs. No, maybe your needs are wants because they're deciding your disposition.
Yeah, that's good.
You guys get it?
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm doing better. Thanks. You prayed for him yourself. I was in trouble. When I talk about loving him, my personal relationship with him, it's hard. I fall out. I'm besides myself when I'm alone. You think I'm messed up when you see me? People criticize me sometimes. They say, well, he's just too emotional. You ain't never seen me alone. You couldn't handle it. I'm besides myself. Because how do you put it into words? How do you truly get loved by the God of the universe? Receive his love and have him love on you, dote on you, hold you, and know, and be okay. See, I'm back on thin ice right now. How do you just close the door? How do you just close the door and know he's there? And meet you there, minister to your heart, and be okay? I've learned that a lot of people haven't put themselves in that place. They're sincere about God, but they try to serve God instead of know God. And a lot of people haven't slowed down enough to put themselves with him. Some people don't even believe good enough about themselves to even try to be with him. They get more self-conscious than God-conscious, so they can't be with him because they don't think they're worthy or they're aware of all their faults. And they take 20 minutes to pray about all their problems and all their shortcomings instead of just enjoy him. Come on. I pastored for a while. I ask a ton of questions. I've learned that a majority of Christians have never initiated communion and conversation with God when they're all alone in the form of this. Father, thank you that you love me. I so appreciate that you value me. That you would put your son on the cross and take his life on the cross to give me life in you. That is phenomenal. Thank you for loving me. And Christian after Christian will say, well, I never even thought that way. I don't speak that way. Can you imagine? I can't imagine living in Christ and not receiving his love freely and just thanking him for how he sees me and what he's done through his son in my life. Amen. Just driving in your car, Father, thank you that you see me as if I've never sinned. That you've actually cleansed me and washed me and made me pure in your sight, that I have access to your presence because you yourself invited me in. You want to live inside of me. That's phenomenal. I know countless Christians that have studied theology and done countless Bible studies and never got personal with the Lord.
Yeah.
When you get personal with the Lord, it's when your life changes. It's when your eyes get clear. It's when they go from here. It's when your eye goes from here to here. And all of a sudden, you just got a single eye.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, narrow is the way.
Yeah.
But like the psalmist, see, he was on something. When you go through that keyhole, confined is the way because it cost you yourself. You enter into communion. When you go through that keyhole, the psalmist says, he sets me in a broad place. I'm like in the broadest place I've ever been in my life, but narrow is the way. Did you get it? Like the freedom that I drive sometimes and I'm like, Lord, I hope people know blessing and can see blessing like I'm blessed right now. Like I feel like I'm the most loved person on the earth. I feel like so fulfilled, so free. When I'm all by myself, I weep. And just trust that somebody's experiencing this revelation. Not trying to be self-righteous in that. Just, it's your heart. You want everybody you love to experience the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, you get called self-righteous for talking like that. Who do you think you are? You are so high on yourself. No, is that right? I'm high on him. High on him. Myself? No, if I was high on myself, I'd have nothing to give you.
Right.
High on him.
Yeah.
I'm sailing in him.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
He's in me. I love that. Man, if you don't believe he's in you, you don't have confidence standing at the gas pump. You don't even think, you don't even see the person on the other side of the pump if you don't think he's in you. You're just getting gas. But if you think he's in you, hey, how you doing over there? Pretty nice on these prices we're hanging, huh? Yeah, well, just a little conversation is all you need. They say a little something, all of a sudden, shoot, bam, pow. Jesus is right there. Oh.
Amen.
Yeah? Just a little conversation. Man, what's up that tattoo? That's really different, man. What is it? Well, I'll tell you a little bit. Wow, that makes sense. Hey, you know, and you shift right into Jesus. Next thing you know, you get a little impression. You know something going on in their life. Look, I'm just believing you're married. You're married, aren't you? Yeah, I'm married. Then listen, don't be discouraged and don't make a rash decision right now. What are you talking about? It's just what I see. And you tell it, and all of a sudden he's weeping at the gas pump. Because you're speaking right into his now.
Yeah.
So you think these are analogies. These things aren't analogies. I can just give you example after example. You're just taking a walk and you see the kid over at the park bench. And you decide, oh, he's a teenager. He's like, looks like a teenager to me. Everybody does now. Looks like a teenager. You know what I'm saying? And I tap him. And I said, listen. I need a minute with you, buddy. He said, well, do I know you? I said, no, I don't think so. I said, but look at me. This is very important. I said, I hear the Lord telling me that you're a great dad, and don't you ever think you're not, and don't give up on the idea of being a daddy. And this kid burst out into tears. Never even met him, don't even know his name, didn't even care. Doesn't matter, that's not the point. I'm not there for a social. I'm there to, thus says the Lord, and speaking to his life right now, to where he looks into my eyes and the fear of the Lord comes upon him, and he knows it's as if, no, I'm not God, I'm not God, don't write me no letter, I'm not God, but it's as if God is standing in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, why? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ-like one.
Yeah.
I was on the plane, the lady said, I said, why are you trembling? It's okay, I need to pray. I was feeling like I'm talking to God. I said, you are. He lives inside of me, and he's the only one that can know the things
yeah.
that I'm sharing.
Yeah.
I know, I'm so overwhelmed. I said, in a good way, because he's good. Give me your hand. It's going to get way better. I tell you story after story. Why? I'm not distracted, and I believe he lives in me. I'm not caught up. My heart is free.
Amen.
Come on. I got the same challenges you do. Don't think I don't. I've lost loved ones. I watched my mama die at a young age, I believe. None of those things are good enough to stop him from being who he is in me. Because one day we'll all sing together anyway.
Yes.
So we might as well enjoy the moment. Instead of dread it away. Might as well make the most of this gift called time. Instead of dread it. And let it become more of a torment. Probably ought to redeem the time since the days are evil. Instead of dread the time and get deceived.
Amen.
Don't learn to feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
It's the biggest lie in your life, I promise.
Yes.
How can you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him and feel sorry for yourself if you denied yourself? Is it possible? No. So then it means we've incorporated him into our life as best we understand, believe him, but we're still about us. So we really haven't denied ourselves, have we? So we can wear that sweatshirt, but we really can't. Because we know it's scriptural, so it'll speak, but is it my reality?
Yeah.
You'll know them by there. So your life lived reveals what you really believe. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yay. You're awesome, everybody. I wish we were all like, I mean, little children, lest you become like, he's not talking about being childish, he's talking about being innocent, you're not being so self-conscious. Notice he said a little child because it ain't long in till they're aware of themselves. It ain't long in till they know what they're doing. But when they're a little child, they just run right through a room of 2,000 people right up front and run right past and do something, pick something up, keep running. Don't even know everybody's laughing at them, looking at them. They don't even know. You ever see that? Come up there with a little puffy diaper on and they're doing something and their mom's like, oh, freaking out because they're up front and the child doesn't even have a clue. And I look and I weep and think, I wish we were all like that child. What he's talking about is a restoration to innocence. Because we all lost innocence through the fall. We're all very self-conscious at a very young age. We're always driven to fit in. And if you're not driven to fit in, you just let your heart get lethargic and say, well, whatever, I don't care. But then you're hurting hard and you have a dull edge anyway. Yeah? And none of this is the truth. Man. You guys good this morning?
Yeah.
I'm really good this morning. You good?
Yeah.
All right. Want to do it? Let's do it. You good?
Yeah.
You good? You gotta love the guy. We were singing today. I tell you, I said, I'm about ready to convert to cowboy. And him being a good teacher, he said, if you just remember teaching, he said, well, cowboy, a lot of people think cowboy. He said, they can't come here because they ain't a cowboy. He said, cowboy is an attitude.
Yeah.
And then I said, I think I am a cowboy. My wife texted me this morning. She said, "Hope you have an amazing service, cowboy." Let me take the horn, buddy. I feel like I could ride that bull right now. Do it. I was ready to convert. I'm gonna be cowboy. I came here last year, and then my wife and I, we were doing something, and she took a selfie of us, wanted to remember the moment, which surprised me because she's not always the best with the pictures and the camera, and she initiated the selfie. I'm like, this is good, that's for you. Usually she's like, don't want the picture. No, she took it. Well, then she sent it to my phone. What do they call it? Over chopping. Prophet, whatever they call it. She sent it to my phone and I had a big white cowboy hat on. Because I just come from here. She called me a cowboy for weeks. She sent me that picture and we responded and I had this big old white cowboy hat on. And all I could hear was, y'all good? Y'all good? I got it, right? So, I know what to do this time. She called me cowboy this morning. But it's the attitude. I like that. He explained that last year. What a cowboy is. I did. I got to know. Well, I like that. I wish we would get a more intense attitude, all of us. Obviously, I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I mean, a real intense attitude about what faith is and living in Christ is. Going after this thing and being sure the best we understand that our life matters. It makes a difference in somebody. That every day you live, you can mark the heart of another person for the kingdom.
Yes.
You just be at that gas pump. Hey. Yeah? You just be on that airplane. Hey. I've had so much fun on airplanes. I sit on them all the time. People ask me how I'm doing. It's their fault. They started it. They're being rhetorical. They're just making conversation. Hey, how are you? Hey, I'm so glad you asked. You got a minute? Well, actually, we got 2 hours. Playing on. About 3 minutes in, they go, "Whoa, you're really passionate." And I'm like, "Do you see passion? Because I'm trying to stay calm so I don't freak out." But seriously, I'm trying to be gentle. Do you see passion? A little. Like a little. I said, "Well, let me tell you why." Yeah. And usually, you'll give me an impression, a word. You'll give me something. And then they're undone. Yeah. I had a flight attendant come to move the lady beside me because she's crying so hard twice before we took off. Disturbingly crying. Beside me. She thought I was harassing her. She thought I did something. She come up there. She said, "Ma'am, I'm going to move your seat." She looked at me like, she glared at me and I just pulled a Jason. I'm like, "You good? I know better now. He's imparted something to me." But she glared at me. I'm not defending nothing. If this lady's getting blessed, she'll let the girl know. I ain't defending nothing. I'm not going to be a cat in the corner. As soon as you defend, you give a man the right to be your judge.
Yep.
That's why Jesus didn't speak at times when they were coming with the wrong end. That's why he was silent when he couldn't say a lot.
Yeah.
You've got to learn from him. Mm-hmm. She said, "I'm going to move you." She said, "No, I'm fine." She said, "You don't look fine." She said, "No, I'm okay. And I'm just sitting there. This is going to be interesting. Because we already got the ball rolling. I just shared some about her life. I mentioned some about a family member. And she was undone. I'm talking dramatic undone crying. So now, Jesus has a real amazing sense of humor. But he's great at loving people. But she didn't get halfway up that aisle, and the Lord gives me a word of knowledge for her. And I'm like, I was like, oh, Lord. I hadn't even known her name yet. We just sat down. And I just said, hey, man, when I sat down, you know what came on my heart? She said, what? What came on your heart? And I said, no, no, really. And honey, your mother. It was that bad. So I know nothing about this lady. The flight attendant just makes it to the front of the plane. And I said, yes, this is going to be interesting. I was more nervous than anybody. She's sitting there, still trying to recover, and I'm about praying minister, and a word of knowledge comes. I know nothing about the lady. I said, honey, there's one more thing I have to share with you. And she, you can see her cringe. And she was like bracing herself like, oh no, what could it be? And I said, honey, I need you to look at me. She looked right at us, right on an airplane. We didn't even take off yet. I looked at her and I tipped her little chin. I said, look right at me. I said, Crohn's disease is no match for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes!
Now, I could say that to 1,000 people and they look at me cock-eyed. Like, wait a minute, okay? Whatever. I'm hungry this morning, Debbie. You're just so sweet, I can't help it. Whatever. But I said it to her, not anybody. And guess what she did? Almost convulsions. I look up and here come the flight. She's coming. She's on a mission. I think it was just a deceptive vision, but I thought she had a baseball bat. No, she was just coming hard and she was on a mission. She said, that's it, ma'am. I am moving your seat. I have a seat right up front for you. Gather your things. And she doesn't even want to look at me now. She's thinking I'm like a terrorist to this lady. And guess what the lady did? She has hair. This lady has hair. You know what I mean? I'm talking hair. I am playing. She got hair. Guess what she did? She arm locked me. And put her hand in my shoulder. My face disappeared. And pressed into me like she was my daughter. And she said, no way am I moving. This man is so helping me. And the flight attendant startled and she looks at me and I go, all right. You good? She looked, and I just looked at her, and I just smiled. I didn't say a word. I just smiled. She looked at me, and I think I made a comment about honestly, the Lord's ministering to our men. It's very profound. I'm sorry for misunderstanding. No intentions to frustrate labor. Okay. He slipped out. When stuff like that happens on an airplane, guess what happens? 2, 3, sometimes 4 people ask you for prayer ministry before you get off the plane.
Yes.
And you think you're just taking a flight. And you all caught up in the seat you're in, and your flight time, and your connection, and the crowd, and your zone. I think there's some other things to be considered.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Ooh. Because flying is fun. I'm always flying. Like today, somebody's going seatbelt beside me. They're locked. They're in prison. They're going to sit and seatbelt beside me. I'm going to sit there and watch when it clicks. Got him! You think, so it's you. So you're the one today. There's a good day for you. Sure beats being frustrated. Sure beats carrying care. Sure beats being forlorn and disheartened and discouraged. I guess if I fought hard enough in the old way, I might find a reason to not be okay. But I've been thinking just a little bit in the new way, and I can't find none. You know, my wife was on life support with brain damage in a coma. And if you'd have seen me pump a gas, there's no way you'd have any clue. Because none of that dictates who he is. I am not alive for things to go well right now. I'm alive to shine in the midst of however they're going.
Amen.
And if you'll get a hold of what I'm telling you,
come on,
it'll make you free. And those old emotions that you thought were normal will get restored back to truth. Because there ain't nobody in this room that God gave you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave them to you. Because they all function out of the self-centered wellspring. Nobody had to teach you how to be angry. It came natural. Nobody had to teach you to feel insecure. It came with the package called separation from God. You didn't have to study to be jealous. You didn't have to take a course to master frustration. It just came with the package of thinking for yourself. And then people say, well, God gave us emotions. Not the ones you grew up with, friend. Don't you give him credit for those crazy things. They all function as a platform of thinking for yourself. And I promise you, they're perverted. Two places the Bible talks about the saving of the soul. It's talking about the mind. It's always through faith. Through faith. In 1 Peter 1, it says, the consummation of your faith, the end result of your faith, you believing in the face of it all. When your wife's laying there sucking on a tube, and they say her brain is damaged and she's probably going to die. And in what you see life forever in you. You see calling and purpose and destiny. Now ain't the time to be sentimental. It's time to be spirit-filled. Because deep in your heart, you know, even if she dies, nothing changes about the truth.
That's right.
And my life is still a gift. And I'm still going to share.
Yes. Yes.
Am I going to miss her? That goes without saying. I can't hug her. I can't say hi to her. I can't shoot her a text. But I know in my heart she's well. And I'm going to live like I believe
it.
You know, my mama passed. And 2 weeks later, I turned on her road. Because I looked at the clock and I thought, oh my goodness, I have time to swing in and see mom. I got halfway down the road and realized she ain't there. It wasn't time to park the car and saw. I cracked out laughing. I said, oh my goodness, Lord, I was going to see mom and she ain't even there. She's with you. I said, you got my mama and I was going to see her. I said, thank you for your blood. Thank you for eternal life. And I went into this place that trying to drive, just thanking God that my mama's well and I'm going to keep on going well.
Amen.
Does it mean I don't miss her? Are you kidding me? Of course you miss your mama. Special person. Of course she ain't there on holiday time. Of course your chair is empty. You miss her in that moment. And many moments after. But you never let that overcome why you're alive. And why you're here. Because you're here to shine. Not be sad. You're here to shine, not naked.
That's right.
You already did.
That's right.
Come on, we get weird with this stuff. We lose little four-year-old Billy to cancer, and nobody can even talk about it on Thanksgiving. And we're all trying to avoid it, and we know he's not there. And it's our first holiday since he passed. And Grandma and Mama's working hard in the kitchen, and everybody's trying to act like Billy's not here. And the more you do that, the more you're aware of it, the more your hearts are hurting. Somebody just needs to lift their voice.
Yeah.
Say, listen, guys, everybody gathered in the room. Isn't it Thanksgiving? Let's find something to be thankful for right now. Listen, guys, we all know, and we can't deny it, Billy's chair is empty. And then Mama's like, stop it, Grandma's quiet. What are you going to talk about? Come on. You say, listen, Mama, Grandma, listen, no, hang in there. Guys, let's stop torturing our souls and get overcome with grief. We're not going to grieve as those who have no hope. Are you kidding? Look, we're all at a terrible loss. Billy was the life of the party. Are you kidding me? He died way too young. Can't wrap my mind around it, and I don't have all the answers for all the spiritual questions, but I know one thing. God's good, and if he didn't send his son and shed his blood, there'd be no everlasting life, but there is. So somehow we feel like we lost this battle, but man, we won the war. Let's not get overcome by the death of Billy. Let's get overcome by the death of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let's understand that he was a gift for 4 years. We've reaped a lot out of his little heart, and let's treasure the memories in the moment, and let's press through the loss, and let's move on, and let's live in the light. So God, we thank you for the life of Billy. And man, do we miss that boy. And tears are running down your face. But God, we love you so much and thank you for purpose and destiny. If families would do that in the face of loss, they'd be so free and so empowered. And the people that knew them would be so touched by their response that they get to know God because they see you do. That sure beats the sentimental psychological path that almost every Christian follows. Oh, I'm talking straight and strong right now, ain't I? But you can hear life in it. And your heart ain't troubling at it. Because you can hear it brings life. What good does it do if I pull over and cry in despair because my mama ain't there? How's that going to change anything? What's that going to do for me in the long run? Watch this. Do you think my mama would be okay with that?
No.
Them loved ones you're grieving over, do you think they want you to be in despair?
No.
And if they really are believers and with Jesus, do you think they would be saying, oh, I understand, you should be missing me. I was all that. You should be missing me. No, they're going to say, what are you doing?
Right.
You're so much more. Remember yesterday? I brought it up yesterday. I don't know if you were here. My wife one time, she got a little sentimental with me. She was being cute. She was being sincere. And she didn't like, not she, like she sinned or anything. She was just honoring me and loving me. And she just made this comment. She said, I just don't know what I do. I ever lost you. I don't know what I do. I said, what do you mean you don't know what you do? I'll tell you what you do. You'll live on and shine and live for Jesus. And I started preaching to her. She said, oh, yeah, tell her. What was I thinking? You know, I say, I know you ain't going to sit around and cry. I mean, I know I'm amazing and all that. But you ain't going to sit and cry. I know I'm a lot to miss, girl. Come on, that's weird. I just hope she cries and cries and cries till she dies. Because I'm so much to miss. No, no, no. He's too much to miss.
Yes.
And he's so much to miss. So if you miss him, you miss it all. So don't let anything take the place of why you're here. I'm closing with that. That sounds like a good spot to land, even though I never really land on this stuff. This feels good. This almost feels like a landing.
I'm just so excited because I've never landed the plane. Ever. I've never heard the control tower say, bring it in, Dad. That's never happened.
This feels like a landing. Let me go. Let me have my moment. Stop. Don't let me have a moment.
I'm not going to do this. I'm going to crash.
No, listen. I got
myself too silly. I'm praying. I'm on thin ice.
Don't let anything take the place of why you're here. Now watch. That is not God's responsibility. That's yours. You co-labor with him. You're the one who guards your heart. Don't ask him to. He told you to. You stay fixed on why you're here. Don't let anything be good enough to take the place of that truth. Because if it does, I promise you, you'll find out it's a lie. No matter how rational it seems in the emotional moment, it's a lie. Because if it doesn't produce life and doesn't reveal him, it cannot be the truth. He came to give you
life.
And life,
but
he didn't come to confuse you and place your rage. So if you're not producing life and even more, You got your eyes on the wrong things. Please, in my closing comment, this is my land. Don't lose sight of why you're here. That's how we'll have an impact. And that's how the world will know that God sent us.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. Bless you. I love you. I'm finished. I'm going to let him close. If you want to pray, do anything, I'm just going to turn it over to you, my friend. Love you. Bless you.
Love
Thank you.
You.